This is What's at Risk on WBZ News Radio 1030 and WBZ.com with Mike Christian of Risk Strategies Company.
Hi, I'm Mike Christian, and welcome to a special encore presentation of What's at Risk. We're interested in what you're thinking about. Send us an email at whatsatrisk@risk-strategies.com and let us know what's on your mind.
There are places I remember all my life, though some have changed, some forever, not for better.
Tonight on What's at Risk, we examine the risk of not paying attention as we move from moment to moment in life.
All these places have their moments.
Joseph Cardillo, the author of Can I Have Your Attention, will discuss his views on thinking fast, finding your focus, and sharpening your concentration. In our second segment tonight, we'll revisit the topic of financial risk and its impact on retirees and pre-retirees. Julie Jason, author of the AARP Retirement Survival Guide, will tell us how to make smart financial decisions in good times and in bad times.
I know I'll often stop and think about them. In my life, I love you more.
I was thinking about something else, I must admit. I didn't hear a word that you said. Remember to remind me not to forget to pay more attention now, attention now.
Attention plays a critical role in nearly every choice you make. Connected to the very essence of your being, your brain's attention mechanism is hardwired to help you become everything that you can be. As such, you cannot be who you really want to be unless this mechanism functions properly. This is because your attentional system can determine what you think, what emotions you feel, and what behaviors you engage in. It can affect your motivation as well as the achievement of imminent and long-range goals.
I don't know nothing about nothing about it.
Ideas about attention first trickle down from philosophies rooted in a myriad of world traditions. Some of these established many years before the foundation of psychology itself.
So I'm not totally broken up with my girlfriend. Like, I still stalk her and stuff. So. I'm only joking. I can't stalk her. I couldn't stalk her if I wanted to because I have attention deficit disorder. So after 10 minutes in the tree, I would forget why I was there. The cop would be like, what are you doing up there, son? I'd be like, your guess is as good as mine, officer. That's why I called you.
Be mindful of your ears and your thoughts within. Keep our firm meditation, keep our joy, yeah. Be mindful of your ears and your thoughts within. Rastafari, they show why you feel like it. Love your ears and your thoughts within. Keep a firm meditation, keep a high, yeah. Be mindful of your ears and your thoughts within. Emmanuel, give I the blessing.
You'll notice in my act tonight, I get lost a lot and forget what I'm doing because I have a disorder called attention deficit disorder, which is a good thing because I have a girlfriend. She's always yelling at me. She's like, you're not listening to me. And I'm like, I have ADD. And I just saw something shiny.
In martial arts tradition, for example, tenets relating to alertness and focus can be traced back to AD 525 when a Buddhist monk named Bodhidharma visited the Shaolin Temple of China and taught the monks who lived there meditation, breathing, and a host of other skills to generate greater mental clarity and physical alertness, as well as more authentic, enlightened living. Centuries later, in 1890, psychologist William James, who spearheaded psychological research in this country, maintained that attention is at the very root of human judgment, character, and will. Of the early psychologists, James' definition of attention is perhaps the one that is most quoted. According to him, attention is taking possession by the mind, in clear and vivid form, of one out of what seem like several simultaneous objects or trains of thought. Can I have your attention? How to think fast, find your focus, and sharpen your concentration is not your traditional self-help book that offers 12 simple steps to enhance brain power. Nor is it a book on Eastern wisdom, spirituality, or conventional meditation. It is an eye-popping adventure that combines ancient, high-speed attention-building processes with cutting-edge attention research in psychology, neurology, and biology. Through Joseph Cardillo's engaging personal account of the world of human attention, which synthesizes the story of more than 24 experts, you will uncover surprising secrets about the workings of your own mind. Joseph Cardillo is a top-selling author in the fields of health, mind, body, spirit, and martial arts. His books, Be Like Water and Bow to Life, have inspired people of all ages and backgrounds worldwide. As an educator, he has taught more than 20,000 students at several universities, including the University at Albany and Hudson Valley Community College, where he is a professor of English and creative writing. We are speaking with Joseph Cardillo, the author of Can I Have Your Attention? Maybe a good place to start is just to talk about what a good definition of attention is and how does attention affect our lives on a minute-by-minute basis.
In my research, what I discovered is that everybody is able to pay attention, and there's scientifically no ceiling to how sharp we can train our attention, how fast we can think. But the thing is that everybody's attention is as unique as their own fingerprints. And so when I wrote this book, I wrote it to try to help people discover what their own unique way of paying attention is and how to significantly ramp that up to what I call high speed. What attention is a sort of ultra-sophisticated fetching system in our brain that is able to zero in on data or information that we are being presented with more or less second by second.
And what's the difference, and maybe it's the same thing, but the difference between focus and attention?
Maybe in the end, not much. But I could differentiate a little bit for you by saying that your attention is something that can be guided by other things when you are not guiding it yourself. Your focus, usually when I use the word focus, it's being self-guided. It's your attention as it's being self-guided. So I would say that focus is a sort of subset of attention.
Yeah, I would have said that they were the same thing before I read your book. So as you broke down attention into components that I never thought of before, it seemed like there is a bit of a difference.
But that's a great question.
Yeah.
That's a great question.
So in today's world, we all have information overload. I certainly feel like I'm just getting bombarded with information constantly, and I assume that creates much greater challenges to maintaining our focus and attention than it ever did in the past. What are your comments about that?
The first thing that comes to mind is that we're being hit with about 11 million bits of information per second. That's how much our brain is literally downloading. You know, at maximum, we can pay attention to 40 bits. So it seems like not much. But then again, it's what we have, and so it's something that we want to make use of. In terms of, you know, today, speaking of today, I would agree that because of many social, environmental, and economic factors, we're capable of, our attentional system is capable of being distracted a lot more.
But what about the physiological side of it? Because you get into pretty good depth in that regard. The brain produces a lot of chemicals like adrenaline and endorphins and hormones and on and on. How does that impact our attention? And is it more individualized for different people as opposed to being more global?
It's all of that, and it is individualized. But once you understand how attention is guided, then you can better self-regulate it. And there are a few components that move our attention mechanism toward data that we want to focus on. One of those things, one of the big things, is our habits. And they move at a very, very high speed. If you even consider, what it was like when you were starting to learn how to drive a car, and you did every little thing step by step, and you had to think about it, and now we just get in our cars and go. When you think about it, most of what we do during the day is guided by that kind of habit. Another thing that guides our attention is our blood chemistry and some of the hormones that you mentioned. They can trigger reactions out of us in a millisecond, as can our emotions and our memories. So, you know, once we see that habits and blood chemistry and emotions and memories are the things that guide our attention, then we can start to become attentive to how and what they're doing to us, and then start to regulate them so that they're more in sync with our goals.
So as a follow-up to that on the self-regulation part of it, because I know, you know, there have been many, many times I'm trying to focus and I'm trying to pay attention and, you know, a million thoughts are going through my mind and I just can't stay on it, and maybe it is physiological or partially physiological. How can you regulate that part of it?
Well, you start to see patterns. One of the things that we want to do when we're trying to self-regulate our attention is to short-circuit habits and triggers that we don't want and build new ones that we do want. So if we watch our patterns, if we put our attention on our patterns, I do this when, or I feel this way when, and then we can try to compensate for that feeling, or we can try to work with it. For example, when I'm in a sort of anxious or angry mood, I'm not very creative at all, and even though I write full-time, I don't write very well on those kinds of days. And so I know that if I'm in that mood, it's not a day to write. But on the other hand, that mood is perfect fuel for my critical skills, and I tend to be much more critical and much more analytical, say, when I'm having an angry day. And so for me, I might say, well, today I'm not going to write, but instead what I'm going to do is read this batch of articles that I have piling up on my desk that I'm using for research in my book, a few days from now. And I can get a jump on that, and I can get the work done more quickly and with better analysis.
So then what you're saying is that we all have these certain patterns of behavior that are reflective of a mood or a chemical process that really play out over a long period of time. We may just think of them as random on a day-to-day basis, but they really are defined patterns.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sometimes when people are, feeling a little down, they can do tremendous close work, something that at other times they might find tedious and rush and not do the job as well.
The night set softly with the hush of falling leaves, casting shivering shadows on the houses through the trees. And the light from a street lamp paints a pattern on my wall, like the pattern of my life and the puzzle that is me. From the moment of my birth to the instant of my death, there are patterns I must follow just as I must breathe each breath. Like a rat in a maze, the path before me lies, and the pattern never alters until the rat dies.
We are speaking with Joseph Cardello, the author of Can I Have Your Attention?
So we often hear the term mindfulness, which maybe it's in the context of more of an Eastern religion basis, but what exactly is that, and how can we nurture that in our day-to-day lives?
Mindfulness is paying attention to what we're doing. And so, you know, in my book, I like to think of it as paying attention to the way we're paying attention. You know, what are we paying attention to? And then to, again, try to regulate it. There's a technique I wouldn't mind sharing with your listeners.
No, that'd be great.
And it fits right into that idea. And the technique is thousands of years old, and it's called visualization, and some people call it reflection. And the point is that we can visualize behaviors, and then through visualizing the way we want to act or the way we want to do something, the way we want to feel, say, in a certain situation, or how we want to change or modify a behavior or a feeling in a certain situation, if we visualize that or reflect on how we've used it before and want to modify it, then when opportunity comes in real life, we'll do it that way. There's a lot of brain science recently that's been written about visualization and reflection that supports it and explains how and why it works. And one of the reasons that it works is because what we're doing in a visualization or a reflection is taking something that we want to do and we're raising it to the level and the speed of a habit. And once something becomes a habit, it triggers in the brain at 1/600,000th of a second. And so to the mind or the brain, it doesn't matter whether what we're practicing is something imagined or whether we're actually doing it physically in real time. As long as you keep going over it and over it in your brain, it will eventually raise itself to the level of habit, and it will trigger at the speed of the habit, whether, again, imagined only in the mind or whether practiced in real life.
So what about some of the meditation techniques? I know you mentioned a few of them, and there's the very basic sort of Zen technique of just following the breath. How would some of those work when it comes to improving the way you pay attention?
The science behind it is showing that when we practice meditation and slow and calm ourselves down, there's a carryover, and that mindset is able to carry over into everyday living without necessarily having to fall into the meditation itself. So the calmness and the heightened energy that you feel during a meditation, again, once practiced and once it reaches the level of habit, will start to trigger in everyday life situations, and you'll find that perhaps a situation in your environment that has you frenzied in the past might not do that to you once the meditation becomes a sort of habitual state of mind.
You have some interesting thoughts about attention deficit disorder in the book. Can you share that with us?
I didn't think that I should write a book on attention. I didn't see how I could write a book on attention and not discuss the issue of attention deficit. And so toward the end of my research, at least for this certain book, I decided to open it up again and go into attention deficit a little bit. And I would say if there's anybody out there who suspects attention deficit, they should take a look at that section of the book because there's some pretty good up-to-the-minute research on that. But getting back to your question on attention deficit, many of the people that I spoke with agreed that it's kind of almost a misnomer, attention deficit. That's not to say that it can't be a serious issue for certain people, but the idea is that the symptoms that exhibit themselves and that many people call attention deficit disorder exhibit themselves for also many other reasons. And so it's awfully hard to conclude that just because somebody is inattentive that they have ADHD. For example, some very highly gifted children exhibit the same behaviors. And so we're saying they're inattentive, but really they're very highly gifted.
So it may not be a deficit, it just may be a different way of paying attention.
Yeah, it's completely to the other direction.
Right. So any final things you want to share with the listeners as far as techniques they can use to just be able to pay a little better attention on a day-to-day basis?
Well, you know, my book has hundreds of these techniques in it, and I think that if anybody can latch on even just one, it'll improve people's attention significantly. But, you know, I would suggest the visualizations, but you have to remember that what makes the visualization work is a lot of practice on that. You know, somebody said to me the other day, he said, well, you know, I play basketball and I visualize the ball going through the hoop, but then it doesn't happen when I play. And I said, well, you know, I said, visualizing the ball going through the hoop is nice, but visualize the procedure you're using to put the ball through the hoop and visualize that and get that sharp in your mind and practice that over and over again. Not just the desire, not just the end result, but the actual procedure.
You really have to pay attention to the details and the process.
Absolutely. Yep. Another idea that, you know, has really, this was something that I actually learned through my own research, was to take a look at our moods, and sometimes even negative moods can be used to fuel very, very positive goals, kind of like the example I gave you, you know, where anger could fuel, you know, wonderful analytical thinking for some people. And the flip side is true too, that sometimes very positive moods can actually fuel habits and procedures that are not necessarily in our best interest. For example, somebody's feeling great and all pumped up and decides to drive their car 20 miles an hour over the speed limit.
Right. Well, we've been speaking with Joseph Cardillo. He's the author of Can I Have Your Attention? It's a very interesting take on the whole concept of attention. Joseph, is there a website?
Yes, josephcardillo.com.
One more time. Hey, concentration, baby. Hey, that's what you need. Hey, concentration, baby. Hey, that's what you need.
Time for a CBS News update. We'll be right back with more What's at Risk.
When your company is considering risk management and consultative support for your business insurance, make the right choice and call Risk Strategies Company. With offices in Massachusetts, New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Irvine, California, Chicago, and Providence, Risk Strategies Company takes a team approach to protecting your assets efficiently and cost-effectively. By offering a wide range of services and capabilities, Risk Strategies Company brings the highest level of expertise to clients in all areas of insurance and risk management, delivering insurance solutions, extensive carrier relationships and marketing expertise, claim advocacy, loss control safety management, health and welfare coverage, life and executive compensation plans, personal insurance lines, and surety. For the most comprehensive risk management and insurance coverage for your business, depend on Risk Strategies Company. Learn more at risk-strategies.com or call 617-330-5700. 617-330-5700.